Well, good morning, everybody. It's Marie here speaking from deepest, darkest Maltby. It's actually Armistice Day today, and I feel it's a really good day for us to think about love and all the implications that has for us. Before we start, I just want to open in prayer by saying, dear God, thank you for our church family. Thank you that although we are spread all over the county and even further afar, that you are with us and that you are the glue that binds us together, Lord. Help us to rejoice in your love and rejoice in each other, Lord. Amen. And I must apologise for the dog barking in the background. So last time from Elizabeth we had cats, and today we have an excited dog because I think the postman is now coming up the path. Anyway, today's talk is called Love is the Answer. But actually, we need to think about what is the question? And the question is, what is church? It was in the middle of August that I knew the plan for a series of Sunday talks at Light of Life was exploring what is church. And at that very time, my daily Bible study included Paul's advice to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, titled The Way of Love. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burnt as a martyr, but I don't love, I've got nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be cancelled. When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like any infant. When I grew, I left those infant days for good. Yet we don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist, but it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then, see it all as clearly as God sees it, knowing him directly, just as he knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to do to lead us towards that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly. And the best of all three is love. Just a bit of a note now, there should be a word search based around this passage, copied in with this Friday's weekly newsletter. So something for the children and perhaps some adults to do and to think about after listening to the talk. So, back in August, I began wondering if we switch the word love for God or for the words the church, would that passage have the same meaning? And I think it does. If God is love, the church is God on earth. Doesn't it follow that church should be that love? I think it is the supernatural flow of love through Jesus and his Holy Spirit that distinguishes Christian love from humanist love. For after all, many people who are not Christians are extremely loving. Is the human desire for love to receive and give it the stirrings of God in all, whether or not they are aware of the heavenly source? I was struck by the glaring fact that it's all about love. Everything to do with God, Jesus, us, life. As the weeks have gone on, I've felt bombarded by points to add in. Everything I read keeps coming back to this same point. The whole Bible is a well-planned and eternal love letter to us all, to everybody. Father Ranero Cantalamessa, and he's the one with the beautiful smile on the Alpha course videos, has said, "Everything that God does and says in the Bible is love. Even God's anger is nothing but love. God is love." My iPad is full of screenshots of Bible passages that have grabbed me and commentary points on love. And at the moment, my living room floor is strewn with post-it notes, trying to put so many thoughts into some type of order. And actually much to my dog's interest and then disgust. So what I'm talking about today isn't new, but it is eternal. I think it's something that we need to keep on reminding ourselves about whenever we can. As I've been pondering, more and more worship songs about love pop into my mind. And it seems that we can't encapsulate all the beautiful meanings of the word, nor our experiences of loving and of being loved. Like electricity, we can't hold it in our hands, and please don't try. But we know it energises us, makes us feel good, enables us to do a huge variety of different things. So, the evangelist D.L. Moody, who was an American living in the 19th century, heard a man called Henry Drummond, who was a Scottish evangelist, biologist, writer and speaker, talk on this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And afterwards, D.L. Moody wrote, "It seemed to me that I had never heard anything so beautiful. The one great need in our Christian life is love, more love to God, and more love to each other. Would that we could all move into that love chapter and live there." My feeling is that the love talked about in the Bible is a dynamic and a reciprocal word with supernatural power. The best love flows from a giver to a receiver, and that same receiver can pass the love or show the love back to the original sender or to others. Love connects us all, far and wide, making us into a worldwide family. All people are connected in this complex love network, or it's like an exquisite tapestry with Jesus crucified at the very centre. The power of love isn't limited by time. It's the driving force and the solution forever. If love was just a one-way event, like somebody loving chocolate, it's not as good. It feels very different. Love doesn't just happen once. You don't tell your family or friends once that you love them, but you keep on showing that love in so many different ways, again and again and again. How much more so our heavenly, Jesus-inspiring and inspired love. So, how do we as a group of followers of Christ, a church within a community, become love? When Ivan spoke a few weeks ago, he spoke about us being ecclesia. That's people who gather in a place to influence it out of their identity. And Elizabeth spoke of Christianity as a set of relationships. God communicates with us through each other, as well as through books and sacraments. And I hope I've quoted you both correctly on those. The COVID-19 pandemic has made all of us look afresh at how we can do that, and also reminded us of the importance of people and relationships. It's reminded us that our relationship with God and with others is much more important than our buildings and the things we did together pre-COVID. And don't get me wrong, they were good too, and certainly helped us to have those relationships with others. But they're not the only way of doing things. The change in our normal routines has also encouraged us to see things from the perspective of others, and most especially of God. Watch what God does, and then you do it, like children who learn proper behaviour from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. And that's from Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, the Message version. So here are some ideas and thoughts to help us tap into this extraordinary and wonderful love network. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list, but it might have some useful reminders for you. And they've certainly been good reminders for me. So firstly, love needs time. It's not something that's rushed. It's a God incidence that the leadership team are currently reading a book called Hit the Ground Kneeling. And my house group is following the Big Church Read book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Many people, not just Christians, have said that the current change in our pace of life has helped them to really put time into things that are normally pushed to the end of the list or done in haste. Being purposeful in our pursuit of being in God's love network is important. Set time aside. Think of ways that you know that you best link in. Make a list and set aside time to do them. And I really would suggest you try making a list to realise what you'd like to fit in. So this isn't just about Sunday services. It's about thinking and reading and listening and talking and praying and watching and writing and laughing and walking and singing and thanking and giving and smiling and sharing and creating. Follow the example of Jesus. Be his apprentice. See how he made a priority of making space for God and showing love for people. My second thought is that you should take in God's love for you. In Ephesians 3, verses 4 to 19, Paul says, "My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask you, him, to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask that with both feet planted firmly in love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of God's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives. Full in the fullness of God." And actually, that passage was already in my notes before it's included up in recent talks from others. So I think God wants us to hear that. So spend time with him, listening as well as talking. And remember that God really loves this world. He made the world for us and he made it good for us. He wants to show us his love in any which way he can. Allow yourselves to see it. He delights in our pleasure. Just think about how great you feel when you see somebody receive a well thought out gift or an act of kindness. We can be linked into God corporately, obviously less so at the moment, and individually through prayer, conversations, reading, videos, songs, Zoom calls, and being in his creation. All are equally valid ways of connecting with our Heavenly Father. And remind yourself that you can be in God and that he is in you. Intimacy, God knowing all about us and still loving us, is key. John Wesley suddenly experienced this intimate connection and wrote, "I exchange the faith of a servant for the faith of a son." There's nothing that you feel that he hasn't also experienced, and he will draw alongside you and have compassion with you. Compassion. Spending this type of time with God can be exhilarating and energising. Out of these times of recharging, we have the power to pass on those feelings of love and acceptance and to show the fruit of the Spirit to others. So that's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. You can't do any of those well without love. My third area of thinking is about thanksgiving and worship, and that they're so vital in linking us into God's power sources. They help us to see things from God's perspectives. Remember Hannah's talk from 2 weeks ago. And this can make us even more like him. I'm reminded about when I started working as a speech and language therapist many years ago. At the end of every Friday afternoon, I saw the same little boy. He had a severe speech difficulty. He was bright, whizzy and unintelligible. He wouldn't do the things I asked, and his speech was not changing. I used to dread seeing him, as he was such hard work. And then one day, I decided to consciously view everything he did from his point of view, to see his lovely characteristics and not just the ones that annoyed me. And from the very next session, things changed. We had fun. I didn't dread seeing him, and he started to make progress. Still, 30 years on, I think back to that little lad and remember him very fondly, and the huge life lesson that he taught me, to view things from different perspectives, including God's. Sometimes it's easier to be loving than it is at other times. Having an attitude of gratitude can help in this. Another area to think about is that we need to both receive and give love. Remembering Jesus' simple command of how to live. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbour as yourself. When I was at infant school, we used to sing a song about a magic penny. And I looked it up on the internet and I wasn't imagining it. And the words that have stuck in my mind all these years are, love's just like a magic penny. Hold it tight and you won't have any. And another line from the song is, love is something, if you give it away, you end up having more. Another area to think about is unity is an outward sign of our love for God. Our shared love for God is the key thing that binds us together. But don't think that this means we all have to do things in the same way. God made us individually as his children. He doesn't want or need us to be clones of each other. But to each one of us, grace has been given as God apportioned. But that doesn't mean you should all look and speak and act the same. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us gives his own gift. And that's from Ephesians chapter 4. Remember that we are the body of Christ, and each part of that body has its own specific strengths and purposes, with a common aim of representing Christ on earth and being under his headship. Being a part of that love network in different ways doesn't mean that we are more or less holy than each other. It means that we're supporting each other in our common aims. It's always good to continue to develop and grow in our walk with God. But remember, that will always look different in each of us. Try to make love the foundation of all that you do. In Galatians 6 verse 2, it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfil the law of Christ. Church, God's church grows through love. Nikki Gumbel has written, God has given you great responsibility. His plans for the universe are now in the hands of the church, which is Jesus' body on earth. Church is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. And he also has written, church is not an organisation that you join. It's a family where you belong, a home where you are loved, and a hospital where you find healing. And remember that we're not just church together for our own benefits. We should also always be outward looking, working for the benefit of those who don't yet belong. So my final point is to say it's not always easy, but keep your eyes open, hold tight to your convictions and give it all you've got. Be resolute and love without stopping. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13-14. And John Stott, another writer, reminds us, truth becomes hard if it's not softened by love. Love becomes soft if it's not strengthened by truth. So I've got to the end of my organisation of my thoughts of the last 2 months. Sorry if it seemed a bit confusing. I hope you've been able to pick out at least a couple of key points about church being love that will be helpful to you in the coming weeks. Finally, I'd like to finish with a Thanksgiving psalm. It's Psalm 100. And again, it's the version from The Message. On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourselves into his presence. Know this, God is God and God and God. He made us, we didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank him, worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. Amen. Hopefully we'll see you all soon. Take care. Bye-bye.